My guest at this time is Anna Higgins. She is the director of the Center for Human Dignity at the Family Research Council. We want to get her reaction to the administration's decision not to fight back any longer against a judge's order to drop any sort of age restrictions on girls' access to the so-called morning after pill. And Anna, thank you very much for being with us.
Sure. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you. Well, the federal judge earlier this year had basically ordered that there should be none of these restrictions. The administration did not like that ruling. They began to challenge this, and now they've essentially relented. The explanation from the administration is this is more of a judicial position than that the president's had a change of heart on this. What's your read?
Our read is that the Obama administration is really caving into political pressure and putting those politics ahead of the health and safety of young girls and the rights of parents.
Who put the pressure on them?
Yeah, well, first of all, Judge Corman put a lot of pressure on Secretary Sebelius in his April decision. He basically, you know, gave her a scathing review saying she was politically motivated, but really offered no hard evidence to prove that. In addition to Judge Corman's decision, you have quite a few reproductive rights groups who are very supportive of the president, typically pushing for this access over and over for years. And I think they finally got to the point where they just, you know, didn't want to fight this anymore.
What was the law before this fight? What was the age restriction?
Well, first of all, the age restriction, the FDA's decision was 17 years and older could purchase Plan B over the counter, but anyone under 17 would have to have a prescription. Now, in the midst of this decision, after Judge Corman issued his ruling that this Plan B should be available over the counter to all ages, the Secretary Sebelius, the FDA, approved an application by Teva, who is the producer of Plan B One Step, to allow over-the-counter access to girls as young as 15 years old. So while this appeal was pending, the FDA made that decision to allow over-the-counter for 15 years and older. So what this decision does is it's going to allow Plan B to be accessible, actually in front of the counter on drugstore shelves, to girls at any age.
And just talk about the impact that you think this will have. Obviously, girls can become sexually active at a pretty young age, but in terms of their ability to understand what this drug would do to them, how much of a concept do you think girls in their very young teens or possibly even younger have of it?
I think the consequences of this decision are significant as far as it relates to the health of young girls and the rights of parents. First of all, no one knows what the effects of taking this high dose of hormone have on girls during puberty. There have been no studies on the effects of Plan B on these young girls, so we don't know what it's going to do to their bodies. Additionally, over-the-counter sales encourage repeat use of the drug, which is not safe, and there's no clear indication that young girls understand this is a one-dose use requirement. So that is a really legitimate concern. Secondly, we have young girls who are most at risk for contracting sexually transmitted diseases or being sexually abused, who are going to be bypassing necessary medical screenings and guidance from parents that could detect these kind of issues. So that's a really big health concern. In fact, in 2011, the study of the United Kingdom, where this pill has been available for teens, shows an increased instance of STDs in young teens following increased access over-the-counter to this Plan B medication.
Anna, what explanation have those in favor of no age requirements whatsoever given for leaving potentially parents and doctors out of this equation?
They really have glossed over the issue. I think it's something that's not been sufficiently addressed. They say that we are going to encourage parents to talk to teens. Well, teens are going to have absolutely no motivation to talk to parents about this if they don't need to. You know, they have to have parents' permission to obtain an aspirin at their school, yet we're going to allow them unfettered access to high-dose contraceptives that are, of course, associated with premature sexual behavior. So not only will parents not have a say in a health decision affecting their child, they're also not going to have a say in perhaps the sexual behavior or decisions affecting the sexual behavior of their teens.
Anna, you mentioned the heightened dose of contraceptives, that is essentially the morning after pill or Plan B, depending on how you term it. What's the situation with birth control right now? Is that still prescription only? And why would the more severe dose be the one that's over the counter if that's not the case?
That's correct. It makes no logical sense. Oral contraceptives are available only through prescription. You know, they're required to go to a doctor for that because a doctor can test for any contraindications or any kind of medical issues and provide a prescription for that. Well, this Plan B provides 4 to 7 times the dose of oral contraceptive, so it is a high dose of the hormone progesterone. And like I said, we don't know what the effects of that hormone are on these young girls. So it doesn't make any logical sense. It's just, I think that the safety aspect, the safety of young women is being trampled under the guise of access to contraceptives for women, when in fact we're talking about children, not women.
Last question before we let you go, Anna. Obviously, from the pro-life perspective, the morning after pill is also potentially causing an abortion. So from your perspective, how much of this is about health and safety for young girls, and how much is it about potentially snuffing out human life?
Yeah, that's another component. I think we've been focusing on the safety and health of young women and the rights of parents because, you know, what the other side always wants to say is, oh, you just think this is going to, you know, I'll help them procure abortions or abortive drugs. When in fact, you know, the label on Plan B says it may work to inhibit implantation in addition to preventing fertilization or ovulation. But there's not been sufficient studies to prove it either way. So no one could really say they have a corner on how this actually works. So we've really been emphasizing the fact that it's just not safe for girls, and it's not something that we want to provide them, regardless of whether it is an abortive drug or not. And there is evidence to show it may be.
Anna, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you very much for your time today.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Anna Higgins, Director of the Center for Human Dignity at the Family Research Council. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.